It's showtime.
Breaking news from the BS and Beer News Desk.
That's right, the Beer Chaser is back. I got B-Train with me. I am your host, Dale. What's up, B-Train?
Hey, who dat? Got the dub.
Who dat? Got the dub, baby. The Saints beat the Panthers 20-17. How you feeling?
Man, that's always so satisfying to beat a division rival. Not as good as the Falcons, but man, I hate the Panthers, so that's always good.
Yeah. Yeah, good division win. Look, we had the couple Panthers podcasts on the Beer Run earlier this week.
Yeah,
they
right.
pretty much said, hey, you guys will guarantee to win. And yeah, they were right. The Panthers really wanted to give us the game. So
yeah, and it was the score makes it look closer than right. It was. But, you know, in the first half, it was kind of a back and forth. But in the second half, yeah, the Saints took control, and they look good. Yeah, the defense especially.
Man, defense looks great, man, for real.
Yeah.
They really do. They've stopped the Panthers on several short yardage, short field situations because you know, we turned it over or something.
And, when it mattered.
Yeah. They went low.
Yeah, can we get rid of this prevent defense nonsense, though? Come on, man. If you're up
later
three
on.
Or four touchdowns, okay, but come on, man. That was an onside kick away from making me real nervous.
Right. yeah.
I'm going to open this one right here.
They were talking about being nervous and having nerves all bad in this game. Like, bro, you're going to die. It's like, you know.
Yeah.
This one didn't have me too nervous, man.
No. In the first half, maybe a little bit. But second half, things calmed down.
I'd say more frustrated than nervous.
Yeah. Early on. And I could see, you could tell that, like, Carr was getting frustrated too. So I don't know what conversation they had in the locker room, but everybody settled down in the second half and things looked a lot better. Not amazing, but better.
Yep. All right, let's go through some notes.
Sure.
Look, on that first drive, I left thinking, oh, offensive line is still a problem.
Yeah.
We suck.
I mean, look, they got to give Penning a lot of help. And I mean, these two games now, it's still a small sample size. They figure it out. But, like, come on, man. You draft a guy that high, someone that's that big needs to be holding his own. And, I mean, honestly, that was one of the weird things. In the first half, I thought he looked okay. Mm-hmm. Early on, I don't know if he got tired or what. He's a big boy. I got it. But he's got to do better out there.
Yeah, I saw up and down from, like, I don't think anybody was really exempt from the offensive line from what I saw.
Yeah.
What I think I saw, at least. You know, because I'm still a fan watching, and, you know, you don't see so much on a TV copy. But yeah, I thought everybody struggled on the offensive line, especially in that first half, man.
Yeah, and it's hard for me to tell exactly where the problem is. I got to, you know, look at the tape where we can see all the receivers and everything, because it just seemed like every time – Carr targeted a receiver, there was three defenders on him every single time. And I'm like, that, you know, the math, look, I don't like doing math in public. You know this, but there's only 11 guys on the defense. Somebody's got to be open somewhere, right?
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. I got Headley starts off with a 25-yard punt. Like,
man,
that was atrocious, bro.
Not good. Well, he had that one that, that looked okay later on, but yeah, it just punched one right through the end zone too later on. I mean,
yeah.
I don't know, nothing
like,
to
like a net 20-yard punt.
Yeah,
silly.
I mean, something that the reason they kept him right is because, you know, I got hang time's one thing, but his control, and that's why these guys in Australia are going through that special kicking academy. So you know, when you're kicking from midfield like that, you kind of expect that you're going to pin him down in the 20. So, you know, nothing I'm going to lose a lot of sleep over yet. But, again, when Gillikin looked as good as he did a couple years ago, you know, it's a little frustrating.
Yeah, looking at his punts this game, he averaged 42 yards on a punt, one touchback, two inside the 20. His net average for the game was 42 yards. Looking at his net average for the year so far, and it's like 41 yards. So it's ticking up, but it's got to get better. And those shanks help that average, man.
Yeah. And I'm going to be honest, I got too much beer in me right now to really figure out if that's a good net average or not. But, I mean, I don't think so. Doesn't pass the eye test.
Yeah. What's up, Todd Gunn? We see you out there waiting on us. Appreciate you being patient with us while we were trying to set up. Life.
Great movie. Both of them. Both Top Guns.
Yeah. Who that to you? Appreciate you waiting for us out here. All right, next note I got, Panthers were able to capitalize on a short punt by getting a field goal. And that's the kind of thing that'll get you beat, you know, having that short punt like that, yeah. Giving them a short field to work with. And the best your defense can do is stop them to a field goal. So.
Man, we got lucky a couple times out there because, one, there was the fumble where they were, knocking on the door at least – They should have walked away with a field goal from that drive. And, you know, even though the Saints didn't do much with the following possession, like they kept them out of it for that, you know, the time being. Just Bryce Young. I mean, I got it. He's young. It's his second game. Who knows? But, you know, as of right now, didn't look great, thankfully for us. Maybe he will later on. But, yeah, the Saints got lucky a couple times. Maybe I don't want to say lucky. I mean, they had good defense.
Luck always factors in, I think.
Yeah, that's true.
For a game. But, wait, you see that play from Pittsburgh with the fumble.
Oh, man.
Like a million times, yeah.
Yeah, I got that game on the TV, too, right next to me. So I keep glancing over at that because Cleveland's got that drip, man. Tonight,
yeah.
At least.
Yeah, all white. Like that all white, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it looks good.
It would look better with us, but.
All right, Jamal Williams. Mm. Hamstring injury in their first half. Left the team with Tony Jones Jr. and Taysom Hill because he does it all.
Yeah, we got to talk about that too. And, you know, I'm glad that Derek Carr was able to humble himself, and you could tell by the end of the game, he was just happy that they did as well as they did. And I think that's great, man. Tony Jones Jr., he's got some familiarity with the system. He's been with the team before. They called him up recently because they knew Kendra Miller wasn't ready to go yet. And he answered the call, you know, any given Sunday or any given Monday, and your number gets called, you don't know what's going to happen. And then lining Taysom up in the I formation like that. I don't know that I've seen that before. I mean, they obviously use him as a running back more often than not, but to see him taking handoffs from Carr like that, I thought was awesome. I mean, and it worked.
That's true. Great. That's true. Yo, him at the tailback. I mean, you had to do it, you know, because you literally only had Tony Jones Jr. as your only healthy running back. So, you know, Taysom does it all. So Taysom get back there, play some running back, and he actually got a handoff. But I started seeing some of the times where he would just line up at quarterback and just take a snap, and they pretty much run, you know, a quarterback draw for him. But the Panthers are playing it with, like, too high.
Yeah, that was ridiculous.
Several times.
Which is crazy because early on, I think they tackled him for a loss. It's like you know it's coming, and – I get it. You can't sell out completely because he did throw a pass in the game, and you always got to leave that possibility open. But, like, come on, man.
Yeah.
You know, Taysom taking the sack, you know 90% of the time what that means.
But too high?
That's ridiculous. Yeah. I mean, thankfully, right? But yeah, that was amateur.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Look, these million dollar coaches, you know, they get paid to make dumb mistakes like this, and, you know.
Yeah. Well, they got to be feeling bad. They're 0-2 in the division right now. Two division games off the bat, lost them both. Mm-hmm.
Yep. So after that short punt, I'm sorry, and Jamal Williams getting injured and all that stuff, we saw Carr throw an interception into triple coverage to Olave.
Yeah.
And but that actually led to like a Granderson sack fumble, but you know, talk to me about the throw.
it was good to see the back and forth, right? Like thankfully they had a turnover not long after, but man, you could tell Carr wanted that one back. And yeah, I mean, that was no different than what he was doing the rest of the game. Like he was throwing into double or triple coverage.
Yeah, man.
And holding on to the ball for a long time too, which is not really what I want to see from him.
Yes, definitely holding on to the ball. I think he took 4 sacks this game, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah, 4 sacks. That's right. Uh-huh.
Gosh, some of that was painful, but a big function of this too, I think, is the fact that a lot of these guys aren't really playing much in the preseason. And so I think he's new to the team. And even though he's been with them since, spring, it just takes some time. And I'm hoping. Yeah, that's right. And, now that they're out there playing games, I expect that things are going to gel pretty soon. I think they'll be looking good by the end of the season. At least that's the expectation. That should be the expectation.
I heard some analysts talk about this, just overall the NFL, like the first month of the season is sort of like preseason because, everybody's getting used to playing and tackling and all that kind of stuff, and the sharpness starts coming after that. So,
yep, but it's a lot easier to diagnose these problems and work on them after a win than it is a loss.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Like I saw the guys laughing on the sideline and having fun. And I'm like, look, there's still a lot of stuff they got to clean up, but you'd rather do it after walking away with a win. Like if you lose, everyone just feels bad. It's a long plane ride home.
Oh, terrible plane ride.
Yeah. And they're on the road again next week in Lambeau too.
Right. Yep. So. And so my last thing I got for the first half is a 2-minute drive. It's terrible. The offensive line can't block anybody. And this is one where I saw like Hurst, Penning, Ruiz, like all of them got beat on that drive. Yes. Everybody.
if it was just Penning, then, obviously there's some help you can give him. But the offensive line just rough.
Yeah, Pete Carmichael can't just dial up a play to help every single offensive lineman win a one-on-one battle.
Yeah.
And one guy, I want to say Ruiz, like got knocked back. But like a linebacker coming in on a delayed blitz, like, man, you just signed this deal, bro. You can't get knocked back like that.
No, that's right. He just got the bag, man. Now you got to prove that you earned it. But I feel like Ram is the only one that's just consistently looking good throughout 2 games so far. But I mean,
I don't know. I saw him get beat a couple times too. Like he didn't have a great game. Like,
it may
be better than some of the other ones. He probably graded out a little bit better, but it wasn't great for him either from what I saw. So
I think Penning has taken away everyone's attention from the other side of the line.
Yeah.
Yeah, this used to be such a strength with this team. You know, for years, the offensive line was always a strength.
Hey, they put in resources. I can't say that they haven't invested in it. It's just
– That's true.
They got to come on and play up, y'all, so.
Yeah, and I think that Carolina has a decent defensive line. I mean, I think that was a matchup that we were looking for.
Yeah, we were talking about Burns, being afraid of him. I thought they mostly kept him in check, but he still got some nice pressures. And, I mean, you got to call his name for sure.
Yeah, that's right. Saw him a lot out there.
Like this guy, Frankie Louvo.
Yeah, exactly. But he looked all pro out there tonight.
Right, exactly. This guy's Asia is calling the GM like, yo, we need a new deal.
Yeah. After that game, after Monday Night Football, everybody saw that,
Yeah. So
that's funny.
But yeah, just looking at stat sheet, Brian Burns was held to like 2 tackles and that was it. That's great work for the Saints offensive line for that part. At least you don't let the best guy beat you. So,
yeah. And I think that they figured out who was going to be open later on or something. Cause Olave had some Sports Center highlight reel catches, especially in the second half that kept us in it. And what was weird was that Michael Thomas was getting open a lot. You know, I felt like in the first
he
half,
he sure did,
but then they must've started double covering it or something.
Yeah, I think in the second half, I only saw passes to maybe one to the tight end, Juwan Johnson, Shahid Olave, really.
Yeah, he's so good.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's good.
That was really it. So yeah, you're right about that.
I think they're saving Jimmy Graham for the next home game. He was out there, but
I got some notes with him where they called him for holding on the block.
Man.
Because, you know, that's what we want Jimmy Graham out there doing, blocking. You know?
No. Remember they tried that in Seattle. Like, that was the brilliant move they were going to do. They were going to turn him into a blocking tight end. It was a disaster.
Yeah. So, like, we're like 0 for 2 in the red zone the first half, I think. Or was it 0 for 3?
Well, 0 for 2, I thought. But they, I mean, you know, that groupie was, you know, got those field goals. So that was nice.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Props to him for kicking the field goals and making them.
But
for sure.
Yeah. But, you know, you can't, those were two long drives. And you cannot end long drives like that. Field goals. That's nothing.
That's why the game was close. The whole time there. Yeah, you're right. Mm-hmm. And so that brought into question the whole Derek Carr in the red zone thing, because, I mean, look, all offseason, the naysayers, you know, they talked about that stat. And I mean, so far, 2 weeks, it's coming up.
Yeah. And, you know, thankfully, it ended up being a, you know, if you watch the game and don't just look at the score afterwards, you know, it was a relatively convincing game. But, you know, Derek Carr owes Tony Jones Jr. dinner or something, man, because he hooked him up.
Exactly. Yeah. So let's see here. Next thing I got in the second half, Olave caught a deep pass, got up, spiked the ball.
Yeah.
It looked like he got touched.
I am so glad they didn't take a look at that, because
the ball went out of bounds, luckily, though. But
yeah. Well, thankfully, but you could tell the defender was like, I think this dude just fumbled the ball.
Yes. Bro,
he should have, if the defender had sold it, like if the defender had just picked it up.
Yeah, just ran with it. Yeah.
They would have looked at that for sure. And I think that I could see the announcers being like, well, I don't know. He was never touched.
Yeah. I can't believe this, man. You get up and run. That's what you do. You don't get up and fight the ball.
Yeah, God, no. I mean, it was exciting, and I'm glad nothing came of that. But, yeah, I think that was a fumble.
Yep, for real. So then Tony Jones Jr. steps up, overcomes a couple bad spots by the refs. They tried their best, bro.
What in the world? Some of those, man. Like, that one that was obvious, I thought it was a first down, and then they said now it's third and
down.
One.
What?
Yeah, get out of here, man. That one with what's his name? God, was it Shahid? Oh no, it was Olave, where he was tiptoeing on the sideline.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And you know, like that Broncos game a few years ago, if he was wearing white cleats,
yes.
They would have been like, we can't tell. That's a touchdown. We got to call stance.
Call on field. Right.
These guys need to be wearing the white cleats.
Yes. Yes. I agree with that.
Yeah.
It benefits you a lot, man.
That's right.
Make the refs work. Shoot.
The black cleats make it too obvious.
Yeah. Yeah. So Tony Jones Jr. steps up, punches it in the red zone. This is in the third quarter. And then, boom, we got – a Foskey sighting.
Yes.
Because he almost blocked a punt. You kidding me?
Foskey. I liked where they put him in there. It's got to be good for his confidence, you know, because I think he was a healthy scratch in week one and he got some snaps in today. And I mean, you got to figure he's a little bit of a project, but, you know, he's got a lot of raw talent and it's nice to see something, you know, just kind of like we saw a little bit of Breezy last week. So with these young guys, like if they're getting out there and they're making some plays here and there, getting close, you know, that's always a good sign for their development.
Yep, for sure. For sure. All right. And oh my God, Carolina can't figure out how to stop Taysom running up the middle. Quarterback, bro.
You know what? To be fair, many have tried. Many people have tried. You can see it coming from a mile away. You can't stop it. What are you going to do?
I'm looking at the play and I'm like, we about to run up the middle. That's what we're about to do. And we did
sure
it.
Enough.
And they had too high.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. But he passed the ball later on. He had a completion. which I'm surprised they don't do more of that, because it's just like 90% of the time you know the dude's just going to run it up the middle or off right tackle or something. And, you know, it always works, so no reason to stop. But there was a couple times I think he had a running play where he got stopped kind of short, and there was a dude that was open. I couldn't tell if it was Moreau or someone that was right there that was wide open. You know, they got a coach needs to talk to him and be like, look, I got it. You're bulldozing guys, all right? And it works. But just maybe take a quick glance. If there's someone wide open in the end zone, just toss it to them.
Please. Please do. That'd be nice. Oh, man. But, yeah, I was talking to the Panther fan from Nick, that roll of coverage that was on the beer run the other day. And he was pretty much saying they need to fire the defensive coordinator. Like, that's what they need to do.
I took, you know, I like to make a fun tradition out of this when the Saints win. Just take a quick gander over at the opposing team subreddit. And it's just shade and fruit. I know that ours looks just as bad when we lose or even when we're winning. But yeah, it's just nothing but like, you know, the coach needs to sell the team. They need to fire, or I'm sorry, the owner needs to sell the team. They need to fire the coach. They need to fire all the coordinators. Bryce Young is the worst draft pick ever in the history of draft picks. It's nice. It's nice to see when it's a division rival.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with that. I agree with that. We enjoy those tears.
Yes.
Oh man! Speaking of, what did you end up drinking for the game today?
So I went heavy on Corona. I think this is all I had. Corona Familiar R. I just had a few of them in the fridge, and you know, I don't want to forget. Craig got it right. Craig said it was going to be 2017.
Craig said 2017. I can't believe that.
I was a little off on mine, but I do owe him. I'm going to go ahead and chug for that.
There we go. Good job, Craig. Good job.
There you go, Craig. But I was off. I was off. I predicted that it was going to be a little more of a blowout.
Yeah, I said 27-17. So,
yeah, you were close. You were still closer than me, though.
I'm close.
I said the Saints were going to score 10 touchdowns and that Groupie was going to miss the last extra point just for fun at the end. And that was it. So you can do the math out there.
Hell of a prediction there. Oh, man.
I was hoping I could will it into existence.
So, Taysom, you got to see Taysom in the eye today.
Yeah. Man, because, something.
What did you think about Taysom in the eye, man?
I loved it. I was like, they should be doing this more often. They had to do it today. They were out of running backs. They had zero left, except for Tony Jones Jr. Yep. But, you know, I don't know, man. Maybe if they had drafted a running back that didn't have an injury history, just throwing it out there. But you know what? They got Taysom, and frankly, whatever forces Dennis Allen to use him more is, you know, that's a silver lining at least. You know, obviously it sucked that Jamal Williams went out, and hopefully he's okay.
Yeah.
Especially because, I mean, they still don't get Kamara back for the next game.
This was a first half injury, and he was out for the remainder of the game. So, it might be pretty serious.
Yeah.
Keep him out a little bit.
They can, who's that guy that was a wide receiver?
Kirk Merritt?
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. They can, make him a game day active next week in Lambeau.
Yeah.
You know, it's not too cold next week, I don't think, in Green Bay, but you gotta figure they're probably still gonna need to run the ball quite a bit.
Yeah, it's gonna be hard to try to sign somebody off the street on a short week.
Yeah, but they could still maybe bring up Merriweather or someone from the practice squad.
For sure.
But yeah, they're gonna need that. And the team's gonna be missing Kamara next week. And maybe Kendre Miller's better. I don't know. And he was at least practicing this week, so that's a good sign.
Yeah, but they said he didn't look right, so I don't know how close he is.
I mean, if he's still limping and stuff, you know. Fournette?
You know, he's available. He's available. We might want to give him a call. Leonard Fournette, I'm just saying.
I mean, not a bad idea. Or, you know what? Mark Ingram has looked great in the booth, but you know he could probably be convinced to come out for just a couple weeks. You know,
I don't know, man. ever since he stepped out of bounds too early, you know.
Yeah, but you can't let him end it like that. He's a Saints legend, man. You gotta give him one more. Just be like, hey, look, we're gonna give you the ball one more time. We're just get a first down, and then you can go back to the broadcast booth.
I think that who that chat was a rap.
Yeah, Fournette might be a better choice right now. That'd be popular. It'd be a popular move.
For sure.
Right,
for sure. Yeah. You'll sell some jerseys, for sure.
Yeah. That'd be good.
So huge mixed tackle by Marcus May on Bryce Young. He was just assuming Bryce Young was gonna go down on a scramble up the middle. Huge game.
That was painful, man. That reminded me of Alex Smith, man. Every time I see something like that. And look, I don't know. And Bryce Young's a young guy, but I mean he's a little guy too.
Yeah. True.
So true. I don't know what was going on there. But you know, if they only blow a couple of plays like that, not a huge deal, but
yeah.
Just lesson learned, right?
Yep. Yeah, I think Kareem Hunt is still available, Jake.
Yeah, and he didn't he came in and I think he wanted more money. I don't know what the deal was there, but I don't know.
He wanted a little bit more. So
the market doesn't look too strong, so maybe the Saints can come up and be like, hey, about that original offer we put on the table.
I mean, more than likely, it's going to be Cleveland calling Kareem Hunt back.
Yeah, because
Nick Chubb looked like he got a torn ACL from that hit I saw. So, yeah.
God, yeah, that's rough. That's tough for them. And, you know, I think a lot of these guys, probably Fournette and Hunt, they know that some of their peers are going to go down throughout the season. So.
Oh, yeah. That's why he held out, you know, didn't take that 1 year, $2 million deal or whatever.
Yeah. But would you rather go to New Orleans or Cleveland? Come on.
I mean, look, as a running back, you probably just want some money. Like,
take the bag.
I'm not thinking about winning on championships and all this.
Especially at that age, right?
Yeah. I just want to get paid. So, yeah, I understand that.
Yeah.
All right. Paulson, the Debo got a PI that put Carolina in the red zone.
Yeah, that was killer. I got it.
Did you agree with the call or?
No, I'm biased, but no, I didn't. I think even the announcers were kind of like, they said, well, he pushed off and, you know, the receiver kind of sold it. Come on, man. I mean, I'm not even mad at Debo for that. I thought that was ridiculous.
Yep. And this is the one where Bryce Young lined up behind the guard and the gun. His running back is like pushing him over. Yo,
welcome to the NFL. Who did that once for the Saints? Was Adrian McPherson?
Adrian McPherson, yeah, but he lined up actually under the guard.
I think the guy walks up to him and he's like, no, he's like, you need to move over. Yeah. The guard was probably like, what is going on back there?
But shout out to the running backs. Both situations, the running back are the one that corrected it.
Okay, that's right.
So we need to pay running backs now. Okay.
They're the real signal callers.
That's right.
Welcome to the NFL, right? That was real. Funny. Now, if he's still doing that in 5 years, then it'll be even funnier. But
how did you think he looked overall?
I didn't think he looked that great, especially for, you know, if you're trading away that much stuff,
right,
the number one overall pick, I mean, again, you just kind of expect a little more. Now, I think, you know, NFL fans in general need to be a little more patient.
True.
But yeah, I mean, if I was a Panthers fan, I'd be a little nervous right now.
Yeah, he went 22 for 33, 153, a touchdown, took 4 sacks. He rushed for 34 yards, long of 26. So
and those numbers aren't even like amazing in the first place, but most of that came in garbage time.
Mm-hmm.
Garbage time for us
later in the game. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, they were still in it. I wouldn't say it was garbage time necessarily, but it was that Saints were going to that prevent defense.
Yeah.
So it's a little misleading because the rest of the game, when the defense was trying to snuff him out, I mean, they did. They were very successful in that.
Yep. Yep. All right, and another red zone touchdown by Tony Jones Jr., but it came after an explosive play from Rashid Shaheed. Good to see us punch it in the second half for sure.
Yeah.
But the question I have is our offense dependent upon the big play? Because this is the time where we punch it in. We got two big plays, and we punched it in.
I mean, you got to have some explosive plays here and there. I mean, we gave up a couple to the Panthers, but you got to seize the momentum and take advantage of it. So, I mean, it's good to see for Carr too, because he was getting frustrated down there. So I think he needed some of that. And you know, with the run game kind of drying up the way it did,
yeah, I was worried.
Yeah, Tony Jones Jr. stepped up, and I'm actually like, I don't think they had much of a choice, but I was a little worried that they were going to be too risk adverse and not even run him at all.
Right.
And they did. So, and he made the most of it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay. I thought protection on the offensive line got better late in the game. Carr looked comfortable back there. And then, stuff started kind of opening up in a run game. We got, you know, Taysom, you know, running the ball again late, icing the game, putting the game away. Like that's good stuff. When you can do that, rush the ball to ice the game. Like that's good offense right there.
Yeah, I agree. And some of that too might be time of possession. And I'm trying to look up what that was right now.
Time of possession. Let me see. So we had the ball for 32 minutes. Carolina had the ball for 27 minutes.
Man, it's a surprise. I felt like we had it a little bit longer than that, but regardless, we did have a few long drives in there. And, you know, when you're dictating the tempo of the game and the defenders are getting tired, you know, that's when you can make those big explosive plays, or that's when you can actually make something out of the run game.
Yeah.
Because you didn't notice Carr having as much trouble towards the end there.
Right, right, exactly. Yeah. We're even on the turnover margin because we both turned the ball over, one interception, one fumble. But yeah, overall though, man, we feel real good about the defense. Offense, still a work in progress.
Yeah, I'm not too worried about the offense just yet.
Okay.
I think that the defense is more plug and play. I think the offense takes a little more time to gel, especially because a lot of these guys didn't really play with each other during the preseason. So, you know, if they still look like this halfway through the season, I might be a little more worried. But yeah, the defense at least was good. And I think that you give the offense a little time, and I think they're going to make up for it.
Yeah. All right. Comment from Jake. Carr seems really happy, and Thomas and Olave seem to be a good tandem. So,
yeah,
I agree. I love how they got Mike Thomas involved early. He was a factor in this game.
Yeah.
Like if we could protect Carr for the rest of the year, like I think we're going to be good. But we have to get this running game going to take some of the pressure off of him, because I think we're asking a little bit too much. He's kind of carrying us a lot. Don't get me wrong. I get it. He's making a lot of money. I get it.
Yeah.
I just want to win at the end of the day, and a running game is going to help. So we get AK back after next week. Hopefully that will make a turn, and I'm still hoping the offensive line will improve. That's including Penning and everybody else. So not just Penning.
They got to. And even though it's kind of hard to say this, I do think they looked a little better today than last week. Or at least I think they're showing some improvement. And that's good. I mean, you know, what the team looks like at the beginning of the year versus what it looks like at the end of the year is always going to be a completely different team. The offensive line needs that, you know, improvement the most. But I like the chemistry, though, that I'm seeing out there. And, you know, it was really good to see at the end of the game, Derek Carr and Michael Thomas kind of joking around or just, you know, smiling on the sideline together.
Yeah.
And, you know, not just chemistry between those two, but Thomas and Olave, you know, two Ohio State guys. Yeah. You know, people just seem happy. They want to play. You got guys out there making big plays or fighting to make those big plays. And there's a lot of weapons out there. You know, I think Thomas is, you know, still going to be a valuable target for Carr. I think he's going to get a lot of defenders that are covering him. But the good news with that is that it opens up Olave. I think there's a lot to be hopeful for here.
Yep, for sure. for sure. So on a short week, we got to go to Green Bay, right?
Yeah, at Lambeau. God, right. I forgot about that till tonight.
Yep, got to go to Green Bay. So hey, we'll see what ends up happening. Oh, shout out to my guy Jake. Yeah, he's the OSU fan. I forgot about that. So yeah, you should kind of be a Saints fan here, Jake.
Yeah. All right.
We got all your players.
They've been good. Hey, Ohio State's been good to us.
Yep.
Apparently Fresno State is now too.
For real. We got two of their quarterbacks. So yeah.
But LSU lately, Sean Payton hated LSU, but apparently DA's is okay with him.
Yeah.
Not Tulane. Not Tulane though. Unfortunately.
Yeah. Yeah. We gotta make that right, man. Fix that.
Yeah.
So.
Yep.
We'll stay on the guys, man, and maybe we'll draft some more Louisiana players and we win some games out here, you know. Well, that's what we do, Louisiana.
A lot of great football players out of Louisiana.
That's right.
But you know, like Jake said, Ohio State is wide receiver. I wouldn't be upset if they keep drafting wide receivers out of there because that's worked out pretty good for the Saints.
Yeah, I can't lie. I don't complain when we draft somebody from Ohio State. So.
Yeah, we get them from Ohio State and they work out. And then Atlanta drafts them from Alabama and they look okay for a couple of years. And then they bet on NFL games and then they get, you know, cut from the team.
That's right.
So I'll keep taking the Buckeyes every year.
Exactly. All right, man, you got any final thoughts before we wrap this thing up?
Ah, man, no, that was a great game. I was nervous at first, felt comfortable at the end. Always nice when I'm not feeling like I'm going to have a heart attack at the end of a Saints game. And I'm looking forward to it. Thankfully, it's a short week. I felt like this one took a long time, man.
Yeah, it did.
Gosh, that was a long wait between week one and week two. So when I wake up tomorrow, there's only 5 days left to game day, so that's nice.
Yeah, but I did enjoy watching the Red Zone channel and not having to worry. I could follow my fantasy teams and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, so. That was fun.
I did enjoy fun. That.
So, yeah. Yep.
All right. Well, y'all check us out on the Beer Run later this week, which will probably be tomorrow, but we'll see. And of course, we're going to be back for more Beer Chaser after the Saints game. So for B-Train, I'm Dale. We'll see y'all later. Who that?
Remember to follow us on social media at BSN Beer Media. Also, smash the like button on YouTube and share with friends.